Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go on an attempted day two straight days of broadcasting. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where you go if you would like to jump into the chat room. It's already up and running and rollicking and rolling. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and find yourself greeted by Anatole, Don from Central PA, Dwayne, Hoghead, Jug of Punch, Jules, Laborman, VT Vlom, and Will in Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who being a third stage guild navigator on a rare sunny day for lately, Northern California, has folded space and is using the bug zapper to fold mosquitoes into a different space. Well, you know, he's helping them along with their karma. Maybe the next time they come back as a dung beetle, and they can, you know, they can work their way up to, you know, something decent, tolerable. It's 2 minutes past the hour. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll get this out of the way early on. This is a listener-supported program. We keep this program on the air by your good graces and your good graces alone. And that is what, and by that I mean your contribution. We did a pretty good job of filling in the hole last night. Y'all did. And so this evening I'm happy to announce, and thanks to Joy this afternoon for taking it down a notch, I'm happy to announce that we have only $330 to raise to finally come even. Isn't that... Well, that's inspiring. So $330, you know, one at $330, two at $165, four at $82.50, eight at $41.25. And then my head starts hurting, and I'm still pretty weak. So, you know. I just had a lovely meal. I had a pre-feast dinner. Of one course, popsicle sugar-free a la grippe, and it was magnifique. Yes. So hopefully I'm good for 3 hours of broadcasting. If I'm not, you know, I'll bail out. Sorry. These things take a while to get over, and I apologize for that. But I'm trying to honor my obligation and, you know, be here. If you want to help us keep the bills paid and knock down part of that $330, then just run right over to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute, and there you will find a PayPal interface. If you would like to become a subscriber, of which we are always in need, then by all means, click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. You know, put in like $10. And, well, I cannot tell you how important our subscribers are. because they make up shortfalls when shortfalls happen, and they do, in fact, happen. Let's see here. It is, of course, the 14th day of February, 2017. It's Valentine's Day. Had I not been under the weather and missed last week, 3 days last week, and well, I might have taken the evening off and taken the lovely Agnes out to dinner. As it is, I haven't been out of the house for something like 7 days. And consequently, sorry, I will try to make it up to my beloved at a future date. But it is Valentine's Day, a day recognized on the calendar of saints in the Roman Catholic Church. Dedicated to Valentinian or Valentin, who was a saint of the ancient world in the early rise of Christianity. Back and all these saints happened to sort of come into being at a time when there's no way to verify anything. The Romans were excellent record keepers, but by the time that the saints are wandering around, for the most part, a lot of that had begun to crumble into disarray. Valentinus, if you want the proper Latin for St. Valentine. St. Valentine of Terni, T-E-R-N-I. He wandered around sometime in the 3rd century and there's really not much that's actually known definitively about him save that the allegation of his martyrdom and the fact that he was dirt-napped along the Via Flaminia near what is known as the Milvian Bridge north of Rome. Mm-hmm. So, it's really, really sort of sketchy. But he got adopted by the greeting card, chocolates, and floral industry, and that pretty much saved the legacy of Valentinus. Some stories, and if you go over to like the Catholic Encyclopedia, they'll repeat some of the BS, I suppose. He was said to have been the Bishop of Terni, Narnia, and Amalia. No, really, Narnia. Nothing about lions, witches, or wardrobes. There are stories of him restoring sight to the blind. Saying that he was arrested and imprisoned upon being caught marrying Christian couples. And aiding and abetting Christians who were being persecuted by Claudius Gothicus in Rome. Yeah. It's just lost in the mists of time. But, you know, basically beaten with clubs, beheaded, buried under the cover of darkness, disinterred by his followers, reburied. And because capitalism, what better reason to take chocolates to your sweetheart? Honey, I love you a lot. I just want to give you these chocolates and these roses in commemoration of the bloody, brutal, vicious death of a possibly mythical old Roman Christian dude from the 3rd century. So, you know, happy Valentine's Day, y'all. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Kellyanne Conway was apparently caught up in the Valentine's Day spirit. I mean, you can tell she's a romantic soul. She's so transported by amour that she's unable to differentiate between falsity and truth. I mean, that's pretty well down the rabbit hole, isn't it? Someone who calls himself Lib Hypocrisy and uses Pepe the Frog as his avatar on Twitter, and who describes himself as with the hashtags Molon Labe, of course that means wash the melon, white identity, nationalist, love Geert Wilders and Steve Bannon. Yeah. Well, over at BuzzFeed, Mike Hayes, a reporter there, noticed the fact that Lib Hypocrisy, who hates anti-American liberals, Marxists, and commies, his Twitter handle is at Trump Train No Burk. I presume that means break. At Trump Train No BRK. Lib Hypocrisy tweeted Valentine's Day greetings to Kellyanne Conway. Uh-huh. Your strength and resiliency in face of vile hatred, bigotry, and sexism of the unhinged left is a daily inspiration. Love you! And because she's polite and comes from the PR world, and you always respond to somebody who says love you, Kellyanne tweeted back, love you back. Happy Heart Day to the hapless haters. And that's when Mike Hayes noted it and on Twitter said, meanwhile, Kellyanne just retweeted a white nationalist. And then, of course, they did their journalistic duty and reached out to Kellyanne and said, hey, did you know you just retweeted a white supremacist? I mean, your boss did it all the time, but did you know you were doing it on Valentine's Day? I don't know who had access to my account. Let me see who tweeted that. That's terrible. I've never heard of Lib Hypocrisy. I denounce whoever it is. Yeah. Because I'm sure it wasn't Kellyanne. I mean, Kellyanne, special advisor to the President of the United States, darling of white supremacists everywhere, would never tweet back heart to a neo-Nazi. Now, would she? No. Of course not. Silly man. So happy Valentine's Day, y'all. Enjoy. Then there's a little something else, different but not the same. And it has to do of course with you know, the Clementine Caligula. I call this a tale of two telephones. First, of course, we have the antiquated Samsung Galaxy S3. Deeply unencrypted, deeply unsafe, not even running on a government account. Now, it's clutched like a whoopee in the tiny little fist of Trump. You know, you can almost see him forlornly wandering the halls of the 3 a.m. White House in his shabby little Mar-a-Lago bathrobe, clutching his Twitter machine, that crappy little phone, and occasionally sending out, you know, when nature calls, he runs to the White House boys' room and plops his doughy ass down on the toilet and proceeds to start twooping. And then, of course, he carries it with him. And lots of cell phones were on display during the, oh, what shall we call it, the al fresco National Security Council crisis meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe after Kim Jong, what the fuck, after his government lobbed a missile into the Sea of Japan over the weekend. Because even the North Koreans are trying to get in on the game of, you know, needling Trump. After having said that, after Kim Jong, what the fuck, had previously said, oh, no, he'll make a fine president. He'll fine president. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure by now you've seen the photograph of people huddled around Trump and Abe using the flashlights on their phone to help illuminate the documents that the two men were examining. And thereby, you know, examining themselves. No word on the security clearance of the people who... Right. That. Later on, I guess because it was extra special romantic and they had low lights, so they couldn't just turn the damn lights on in that miserable pile of bricks down there that costs us $3 million every time the son of a bitch wants to go and play golf. By the way, he's going golfing again next weekend after campaigning last year about how the Kenyan Muslim usurper spent way too much time on the golf course. Well, he didn't fly off to Florida every time he wanted to, no. So we're $9 million in the hole for Trump's golf game, and that's a hell of a greens fee when you get right down to it. But no, there were no lights there, so they had to use the cell phone lights and look over shoulders and everything. But after a while, the Mango Mussolini got bored, because he's easily bored. Because this policy stuff is boring. Not nearly as much fun as The Apprentice was. And so he wandered over to a wedding party at one point. No, the Prime Minister of Japan has come all the way halfway around the world to hang out with him. And hang on there, Abe. A lot of people are paying a lot of money to do a wedding here today. I need to check in with them. Just say hi. And wandered over to the bridesmaids. Ew. And took a selfie with them. I wish I was kidding. Sadly, I am not. Can you, now, Mar-a-Lago is a private club. It used to be that you could get into Mar-a-Lago for the low Kmart price of just 100,000 bones a year. But now, no. After he become president, suddenly the initiation fee doubled to 200,000 bones a year. And you can go and play golf and swan around and flip back and forth and have weddings and who knows what. Even while the president is there with the prime minister of Japan and having a national security crisis over a missile being fired by North Korea. Are we all pretty much on the same page here? Yeah, because that's a little creepy. But that's the kind of stuff, and you know, I don't have any experience in the field, but I'm just guessing that that's the kind of stuff that drives the Secret Service bananas. Hell, they used to lose their minds when Bill Clinton would want to get out of the limo and go shake hands with folks along the parade route and find out how's mama. Oh, Jesus, he's doing it again. Oh, what can possibly go wrong? But here, every second person could be Secret Service. And you couldn't be entirely sure that the president was safe down there. And let me be clear about something. Nothing good ever comes from assassinations. So I don't want Donald Trump bumped off. I may be the last person on planet Earth to say that, or willing to say that, but I don't want Donald Trump bumped off. But damned if when he's swanning around down there in Mar-a-Lago, he doesn't provide the perfect opportunity. God almighty. I mean, look, after Lincoln, you get Andrew Johnson. And that works out so well, he winds up getting himself impeached and pulls up one vote short of being removed from office. Imagine how much different the country might have been had he stayed with Hannibal Hamlin of Maine instead of switching over to Andrew Johnson, a Tennessee Democrat, in order to provide some level of comfort and appeasement to the South. Hell, the presence of a Tennessee Democrat may have been enough to inspire John Wilkes Booth to, at least in part, do what he did. Well, at least we'll get a Confederate sympathizer in the White House, which he turned out to be. That didn't work out. The closest thing you can say to a positive outcome from an assassination would be the killing of William McKinley, which gave us Theodore Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt is certainly a mixed bag of tricks. But there aren't any others. And, you know, my generation and a generation beyond me is still trying to come to terms and get over what happened on November 22nd, 1963. So I want him to go on breathing out and breathing in, and I want our constitutional system to work. And if he proves to have committed high crimes or misdemeanors, then I want him impeached. And if he proves to be laboring under a disability, I want the 25th Amendment triggered. but he ain't making it easy. No, 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 no. Not at all. So I did say this was a tale of two cell phones. How about that second cell phone? Well, this story actually goes back a ways. You know, beginning of the month. It's actually after the Muslim ban goes into effect. It goes back to January 30th. And it concerns a man named Sid Bikanovar. Heard about Sid? Sid is a real live, honest to Jesus, Uncle Sam loving, flag waving, born American citizen. He also happens to be a scientist with a big old brain. And Sid Bikanovar likes to participate in, and you know, this is just so cool. Sid Bikanovar, in his off time, his free time, likes to participate in solar-powered car racing. Oh, really? And he had been doing that during the month of January with a team in Santiago, Chile. Now, okay, so that's his hobby. He races solar cars. Well, what does he do for his day job? Because, I mean, you know, jetting off to Santiago to race solar cars, that, you know, that's not something the average Bubba does. Well, it turns out Sid Bikanovar works at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, otherwise known as NASA. He is, in fact, I mean, it's not like he doesn't swab the toilets at the JPL. He doesn't empty the waste baskets. Not that those are demeaning jobs or unnecessary or no. It's just that Sid Bikanovar does high-minded, big-brain, science-y stuff. National security kind of stuff. Secret stuff. Stuff that we want to know first before we decide whether or not we're going to share it. And toward that end, when he travels, Sid Bikanovar has with him a cell phone that has been provided to him by NASA and the JPL itself. So on January the 30th, with Herr Trump's Muslim ban freshly in effect, Sid Bikanovar flies from Santiago, Chile, to the George H.W. Bush Memorial International Airport in Houston, Texas. Now, let's clear a couple of things up before we just because I want to make this crystal clear. Santiago, Chile was not one of the seven countries from which, with which Donald Trump did not have business dealings and therefore was afraid might render your local Walmart into a heap of smoke and rubble. He had never visited any of those seven countries, you know, Iraq, Yemen, Iran. Right. I realize that's only three. I'm just, work with me. He's never been there. So he walks off the plane and attempts to go through customs, where some Customs and Border Patrol official looks at his documentation and says, "Hold on a minute there, partner. I think we're gonna have to talk a little bit." Now, he wasn't showing his permanent visa. He wasn't showing his resident alien status. He was showing his passport as him being an absolutely shining, sparkling citizen of the new United States of America who was born that way, as Lady Gaga might say. Nonetheless, the Customs and Border Patrol moron pulled him aside and asked him about his background. "Well, you know, I was born in Poughkeepsie," and that kind of thing. Okay, let's add in another fact to this. Sid Bakanovar was already enrolled in the Customs and Border Patrol's Global Entry Program. That lets people who submit to a prefatory background check get through their return to the U.S. and a few handful of other countries more quickly and with less hassle. And he had that documentation, and it's supposed to just zip, get him right through. "No, cowboy, I don't think that's going to work this time, because there's a new sheriff in Washington." "Uh-huh. Yeah, it's what you say your background is." "Sure, you say you got that global entry. But this here is Houston, Texas, and you don't mess with Texas." "Got any cell phones on your person, son?" "Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you got a work phone there?" "Oh, yes, sir, I do." "Well, I'm going to need you to turn it on and unlock it so as I can have a look-see around inside. Can't be too careful these days. Your Muslim terrorist is liable to come in here. Because the new sheriff has done said we're in terrible, terrible danger." We can use a quote from Mr. Bakanovar at this point and note that he says, "I was cautiously telling him I wasn't allowed to give my work phone out because it's officially NASA property, but I didn't want to seem like I wasn't cooperating." Because Sid Bakanovar, even though he is an American citizen, or perhaps particularly because he is an American citizen, understands what it means to now live in Trump-merca. And what it means is if you got a funny sounding name, or if your skin's darker than vanilla goddamn ice cream, things could get real sideways for you real quickie-like. Mm-hmm. So, seeing the handwriting on the wall and not wanting to be a headline the next day, he said, look, I'm not really allowed to give the passcode. My employer doesn't permit it. I have to protect access. The Conovar continued, but he insisted they had the authority to search it. Once they took both my phone and the access pin, they returned me to the holding area with the cots and other sleeping detainees until they finished copying my data. Not kidding. Customs and Border Patrol agent Billy Bob Sisterfister copied off sensitive national security data into a computer at the George H.W. Bush Memorial International Galactic Spaceport in Houston. Sid Bakanovar said, I'm back home, and JPL's been running forensics on the phone to determine what CBP Homeland Security might have taken or whether they installed anything on the device. I've also been working with JPL legal counsel. JPL, in turn, had to issue him a new phone because it had been copied by the Customs and Border Patrol Homeland Security doofuses, could no longer be deemed secure out of that one instance. Meanwhile, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but the guy who had heretofore been in charge of maintaining the security of the Kumquat Kaiser's phone. Well, he's not on the job anymore. I don't know if he quit or was fired, but just sort of, you know, left work. So there's probably no one making sure that no one can get into Donald Trump's crappy old Samsung Galaxy S3, and I don't know, turn on the recorder, turn on the camera, play a couple of Hands of Solitaire, maybe some Angry Birds. I mean, doesn't Angry Birds seem like the game that that Tangerine Tiberius would play? They're angry. There's really nothing. No. I mean, Russian hacker could very easily get into cell phone of Donald J. Trump and listen to every national security meeting. Because they're really not that big on national security in the Trump administration. Witness the al fresco, open air, green beans and corn pone, North Korean missile crisis national security meeting. Or consider something else, namely a photograph that was sent out by someone from inside the Oval Office Oh my God. And it shows, it shows the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini standing with some dude who apparently has a ceramic pizza stone in his hand. Maybe it's an ad for QVC or the Trump Channel or something. But over on the corner of the desk, there's this blue vinyl, maybe leather, briefcase bag thing with a lock in the corner of the top of it. And the key still in the lock. Oh, really? That's an AP photograph. And Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico saw it and went, "Holy shit!" And he tweeted the following. "Never leave a key in a classified lock bag in the presence of non-cleared people. Hashtag classified 101. Maybe don't have photographs taken of that include pictures of classified lock bags." I know, crazy, isn't it? I mean, we're just worried about nothing. Do you know that when we still had a sane and competent president of the United States, everywhere he went on location, as it were, they would set up a secure remote, a secure, have a fit, and the president could have a secure connection to the National Security Council and discuss anything that might turn up, as opposed to just inviting the bridesmaids over and, "Hey! Yeah, I know. That little Kim Jong-un, or ill, or whatever he is, he just fired a missile into the Sea of Japan. You see, girls? You bend over real good. The details aren't so great. Yeah, bend over there. Here, somebody shine a light on it for her." And by it, you know what I mean. "Yeah, get a good close look, honey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sid Bakanovar pointed out that when he was searched by Customs and Border Patrol agent Billy Joe Bob Methmouth, he said, "It was not that they were concerned with me bringing something dangerous in, because they didn't even touch my bags. They had no way of knowing I could have had something in there." You can say, okay, well, maybe it's about making sure I'm not a dangerous person, but they have all the information to verify that. But you know what set them off? "That don't sound like a very American name here in Houston, Texas, Bakanovar. What is that?" "Oh, it's Indian, sir." "Cheyenne? Sioux? Apache?" No, sir. Indian. "And you expect us to believe you're really an American?" Well, yes, sir, because I am." "Who won the 1939 World Series? See, I knowed it." "Unlock that cell phone, boy." You know, the reason I do these compare and contrast thingies is because it becomes so abundantly obvious that we're screwed. I mean, if the Customs and Border Patrol and Homeland Security have that JPL data now, you can pretty well assume that Pooty Poot has it too. Yeah. Over the past weekend, The Observer had an article detailing an account from a former analyst for the National Security Administration. Hi, Agent Fred. Sucks to be you right now, doesn't it? Yeah, sorry, man. All that time you spent listening to the horn. Well, you know, we're glad to have you here. I think you're kind of creepy, but in the long run, I do have a modicum of sympathy for you. You know, if I were you, Agent Fred, I think I might see if the Uniblab 10,000 could come down with a virus or something where you had to shut it down for a little bit before Big Bad Vladdy Daddy Pooty Poot takes every last goddamn thing on it. But anyway, a former NSA analyst and counterintelligence officer by the name of John R. Schindler wrote a piece in The Observer in which he declared, and I don't think former NSA analysts and counterintelligence officers just go around saying this stuff. He said that the U.S. intel community is so absolutely, thoroughly, and utterly convinced that Russia has compromised the entire Trump administration that the U.S. intel community now no longer briefs the White House on all of the stuff that it gets in of a, you know, top secret, eyes only, have to kill you if I tell you kind of information. You get that again. The United States intelligence community is convinced that if information, like what was in that, you know, lock bag, has gone into the White House, it has also gone to Moscow. Who, speaking of missile tests, have apparently violated a treaty, thinking they can do so, and Moose and Squirrel will do nothing about it. You know, we think about cruise missiles, and you think about the ones that get dropped out of planes and the ones that get shot out of ships, but we have this, we have this agreement that says that neither we nor the Russians will have ground-based medium-range cruise missiles. Guess what? The Russians have one now. Isn't that wonderful? But anyway, John R. Schindler wrote, in light of this and out of worries about the White House's ability to keep secrets, some of our spy agencies have begun withholding intelligence from the Oval Office. Why risk your most sensitive information if the president may ignore it anyway? A senior National Security Agency official explained that NSA was systematically holding back some of the good stuff from the White House in an unprecedented move. For decades, NSA has prepared special reports for the president's eyes only, containing enormously sensitive intelligence. In the last 3 weeks, however, NSA has ceased doing this. fearing that Trump and his staff cannot keep their best SIGINT signals intercept secrets. What's going on was explained lucidly by a senior Pentagon intelligence official who stated that since January 20th, we've assumed that the Kremlin has ears inside the Situation Room. That's where the president and the top staffers get intelligence briefings. There's not much the Russians don't know at this point. This might be a good time to remember that Steve Bannon has stated that his goal is to destroy the state entirely. Presumably so that something much nastier and can be brought in its place. Did you see the Sid Bikanovar story somewhere else? Has it made it to the top of any of the other? Because that really is kind of an oh my Jesus sort of story. And then, you know, there's Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn, who good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, who just happened to have five, that would be five, did I say five? Five conversations with his Russian handler, I mean the ambassador, in the weeks leading up to the inauguration, which had millions of people and was held in bright, sunshiny conditions, and probably about 72 degrees in Washington there on January 20th. Wasn't raining, damn it. Yeah. By way of explaining his call early on, Michael Flynn said, "Well, I was just calling to wish them Merry Christmas." And, you know, it was around the Christmas season here in Merca. And so maybe some of us went, "Oh, okay, I'd say Merry Christmas to my Russian handler, I mean ambassador, too." There's only one problem. One of the things that goes along with having a 1,000-year-old schism between the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox / Russian Orthodox / Armenian Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, all them other Orthodox churches, is that they can't agree on when the holidays are. They can't agree on Easter. Easter might happen in March in the Roman Catholic / Protestant world. The Orthodox will be celebrating it in June. You know? And of course, I'm sure wars have been fought over this, and millions of people have been slaughtered in the name of follow the shoe, no, follow the juniper bush. But it's a fact. So when Michael Flynn said, "Oh, I was calling to wish him Merry Christmas," that's bullshit. Because Boris over there doesn't celebrate Christmas at the time of the winter solstice. Five calls. Oh, and by the way, we have a national security program called Own Calls. And we also, you know, routinely monitor and intercept the phone calls of Russian diplomats. They do the same with us. General, and one wonders how he ever got that title, perhaps he found it in a box of Cracker Jacks, Flynn, was apparently unaware of this, so he lied his pasty-faced, doughy white ass off when asked what they talked about. And then they said, yeah, but you know, we've got recordings. In fact, it was Sally Yates, whom Trump described as having betrayed America because she wouldn't go along with his Muslim ban, and promptly fired her as the temporary AG pending the confirmation of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. It was Sally Yates over at DOJ who informed the Trump administration a month ago that Michael Flynn had actually, you know, lied. And then Mike Pence, Jesus loves the little fetuses, all the little fetuses of the womb, who went out and said to Merca, I did not play patty cake with those Russians, Mr. Putin. And therefore, joined in the lie. Oops. Now, this is all kind of important because, well, one, once we impeached a president for lying about a blowjob, that's one of them. But more importantly is the fact that Mike Pence, this is about Mike Pence. Mike Pence is waiting for the call of the Lord to be the president of the United States who returns this Christian nation to the folds and the loving arms of Jesus. And all those non-believers and Hindus and Muslims and Jews can go right to hell because they already are. And so when it became obvious that Flynn had lied to Pence, and when it probably became obvious to Pence that Trump knew everything that was going on and was willing to let Pence flap in the breeze and have his little pasty, doughy butt cheeks snapping like a Klansman's sheet on a clothesline in a gale force wind. Well, in reporting the resignation of Michael Flynn last night, more than one outlet said Vice President Pence is said to have been central to the resignation of Michael Flynn. I'll bet. And Mike Pence will do whatever is necessary to burn Michael Flynn right down to the ground and hopefully take Trump along with him. Because remember, there's not a lot of ideological difference between Mike Pence and Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee became Lieutenant Governor of Arkansas, but has repeatedly told the story of how he just knew he was ordained by God to be Governor of Arkansas. And God also told him that he was going to be president of the United States, but those voices can be a little unreliable. Mike Pence comes from the same bunch. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you hear more and more talk about the connection between Trump and Flynn. I've already heard it. This may very well be the means by which Mike Pence, while aw shucks and his ass off, he cornpones his way into the Oval Office. Meanwhile, the threat of impeachment is the whole card that the Congress, the Republican majorities of Congress, have against Trump. Is there anybody at this point who isn't blackmailing Donald Trump? I mean, besides you and me and us? I mean, if there was anything sympathetic about Donald Trump at all, you'd feel sorry for the guy. There he is, all alone, wandering in that seedy-ass bathrobe around the White House, that little cell phone clutched in his hand, going to the potty and twooping about Nordstrom's. And everybody inside the building is out to get him. Because no one sees him as anything but a useful idiot. Bannon? For Bannon, he's the vehicle by which he destroys government as we know it. Pence? For Pence, he's just a placeholder until God declares that it's time for Mike Pence to assume the mantle of Almighty God and turn this country into a nightmare hellscape theocracy. Kellyanne Conway? Jesus, back during the primary process, she called him everything but an orange man. Spicy Spicer may run, Melissa McCarthy may run screaming from the room. Saturday Night Live is driving Donald quite out of his tree. He's furious at that depiction of Steve Bannon as the Grim Reaper, who's really the president, sending Donald to sit at his little Oval Office desk while Bannon sits at the real one. Oh, that one pissed him off real good. Stephen Miller, he was described by a high school classmate as the most disliked, unliked, obnoxious, deliberately hateful person in his entire high school class, and the people at the college he went to said almost the very same thing. So he's just a climber. And if shit gets real, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III will sell him like his grandpappy sold bales of cotton. If there was anything redeeming about Donald J. Trump, you'd feel sorry for him. But the thing is, this is all a hell of his own making. Because he sees the world as a series of deals and schmoozes. And he ran a reality show that involved pitting one person against another, seeking his favor. and damned if they haven't replicated it inside the White House. Omarosa, the White House liaison to black people. Omarosa came near to committing something approaching misdemeanor assault against a reporter in the White House press pool. Having previously berated her with no justification whatsoever for being in the pay of Hillary Clinton. Oh my God, Hillary! Unsecured servers! Hey! Mm-hmm. And so now it remains to be seen what, if anything, the Congress will do. My guess is they will keep their whole card and they will use it against Trump until such time as all of their wet dream Republican, conservative, fiscal, anarcho-capitalist Ayn Rand fantasies have come true, and they have destroyed Social Security, destroyed Medicare, and, you know, ruined Medicaid, if not eliminated it altogether. Until there's drilling on every last square inch of public land, until California has been brought to heel, until no one dare show up at the ballot at the polling place for fear of being declared an illegal voter. It's a hell of a lot of leverage to hold, don't you think? Yeah. So it's 7 minutes past the hour. And I've been sitting here filibobstering my happy little ass off. And as I've been doing it, notes have been coming in. Mm-hmm. Dwayne pointing out cell phones have cameras. I'm no security expert, but I bet one can't have a camera in the presence of classified material. Now you can now. There's no way to tell whether they were just flashlights or had the video recorder running. Plus, no telling whether those phones could be hacked. But oh, Hillary's emails. I know. And, you know, the sad and funniest thing is the unicorn fart-powered sparkle pony cavalry is out there going, yeah, Hillary's emails, God damn it. Keith notes, Trumpty Dumpty sat on a great wall. Trumpty Dumpty soon will have a great fall. All of Putin's horses and all of Putin's men won't be able to put Trumpty Dumpty back together again. Things are getting deeper and deeper. The swamp drain is really stopped up with all that Mnuchin and all the other things, just waiting for the gators to show up. Under the subject line query, Ron in Raleigh writes, concerning North Korea, do we have diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of North Korea? No, it's not like we've got an embassy there. We go through intermediaries like maybe Switzerland or something, China. Have they signed on to any non-proliferation treaties with us? Have they pinky sworn that they would not develop any defensive weaponry of any support, of any sort? I don't know of any such treaties. Me neither. So on what do we base our sanctions against regime against North Korea? we've reinstated sanctions again. Well, because scheming inscrutable Asians, don't you know? We've reinstated sanctions against Iran. I believe, according to the treaties they've signed, they have the right to develop defensive weapons, which I would do if Israel was my neighbor, bristling with nukes. 4 years of this stupid shit, says Iran. At least we're down one Flynn. The Mac says, we know Post is smitten with the pootie. He is enamored with the strong bear. What if Post was given a gift to take home from Russia that was embedded with an unforeseen bonus gift, say a gift that could transmit signals, or just one that would blink intermittently, just as a reminder that he's owned? Mentally ill fascists sometimes fall into this predicament. Just a thought. I know, but it's not a bad thought. Regarding Sid Bikanovar, Robert in Australia says, I subscribe to Space News. Did you know that India is about to launch 18 satellites on one rocket? Holy crap, no, I didn't. It reported the Bikanovar incident a few days ago. They listed it under troubling. At least I know I'm an American, where at least I know I'm subject to search and seizure of my private data while being lied to by public officials and free-ish. Yeah, I think Lee Greenwood's going to have a hard time with that, Robert. And news in the States about this kind of behavior killing tourism to the U.S.? I know. Regarding Stephen Miller, Stephen New York writes simply, I heard someone say this. He looks like Niedermeyer from Animal House. He kind of does. Subject line, Trumpty Dumpty. Clarence says, the orange egg is free-falling on his way to a massive crack. The frying pan is heating up for a grilled POTUS. And Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, writes, absolutely, pent-up Pence, absolutely. Trump is a disaster for being in the Oval Office. Pence is just plain dangerous and disturbing. He just hovers in the background, quiet, deliberate, and stone cold crazy. Yeah. And see, this points up the fact for everybody except people who insist on voting for third parties. The absolute necessity of trying to make, you know, a Clemson / New England Patriots style miracle happen in November of 2018 and taking back both the House and the Senate. Because from a strategic standpoint, what you want, and I know this sounds crazy, what you want is to drive both Trump and Pence from office. If you have to have Pence because you got rid of Trump, well, okay. But you might recall that before they got shed of Nixon, they found a way to put, and of course he was just a venal, skeevy little dirtbag, Spiro T. Agnew, behind bars. But theoretically, we could go after both of them if only we had a majority with the stones to do it. Because by the time a new Congress comes in January of 2019, I have a feeling there will be enough damning information for a bill of impeachment that just won't quit. Damn thing may be thicker than the Manhattan telephone book, or at least the investigation. Because, see, that's not going to happen under the current current regime in either the House. It starts in the House and goes to the Senate. John McCain and Lindsey Graham are deeply troubled by what we're hearing about Michael Flynn and the Russians. And you know what? They're concern trolls. You ever run across a concerned troll on a discussion thread on the interweb tubes? Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just concerned about the effect of your words. And they won't let it go. And it's a way of passive-aggressively blocking further action. Oh, God, I've seen it. I've seen it a million times inside consensus-based decision-making groups. Well, I'm not throwing a block, but I just want to talk about my concerns. And then it goes on for 3 hours. Just trying to filibuster the vote until cocktail hour. Yeah. Don in Central PA. I think this image says it all. And sends a picture from the Wizard of Oz that shows Donald Trump as the great big Oz head behind the torches. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, who, curiously, is, of course, Big Bad Blatty Daddy. Subject line, Creepy Stephen Miller. Kitty in Boston says, somebody needs to check his backyard for shallow graves, just saying. Wait a minute. And clown suits. Well done. Well done, Kitty. We are making progress in knocking down that $330 fundraising goal. Yes, indeed. It's down to $310 now, courtesy of Steve from Georgia Stan, Ms. Karen, and Cletus. Cletus is a good puppy. She's such a good girl. Yeah. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, pointing out if we get rid of Trump and Pence, we get Paul fucking Ryan. I know. But wait, Carol. No, we don't. Because my little scenario was predicated on them being impeached or driven from office by a majority of both houses of Congress. A Democratic majority. What you would actually get is President Pelosi. And that probably creeps some people out, too. Well, okay. That might clear things up. Asa says, I think I have a name for the unicorn fart sparkle pony cavalry, Bob. The alt-left. After all, they did crawl under the sheets with the alt-Nazis last November. True enough. Going back to the Valentine's Day retweet, Gerald points out, oh, sure, it wasn't Kellyanne. Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and play the bullshit card now, if that's okay. You play on, brother, play on. I'll tell you what, before I go to break, I've been keeping someone on hold for rather a long while. Let's check in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Bob, it's Sandra.
Oh, hey. My God, Sandra!
you know what? I don't even know what to say. This shit is so out of control. I don't, you know, it's a long time since we spoke, and shit has, like, gone down the toilet completely.
Oh, it's swirled so far. You know, it's out in the great big Pacific garbage pit now.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm in California. I'm quite happy that I'm out in the blue state because if we succeed, you know, fuck all y'all. But we're about to be, like, mowed over by some catastrophic collapse of the biggest dam in the world.
Well, at least them folks got to go home this evening.
I know. Well, no, I think that it's... But, you know, Schwarzenegger... You know, I don't like him, but he spent a lot of time trying to fix that, and it was no go, and now here we are.
Well, the thing is, in 2005, they got told straight up that emergency spillway ain't going to work.
Oh, no, it just looked crazy, too. I was looking at that, and I'm like, oh, my God. But at any rate, the politics, though, is like all these sort of Neanderthal Trump people, you know, making fun. But I'm like, niggas, all you folks voted for him in that part of California. So enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's why I enjoyed that first district congressman so much, who in the middle of talking about the looming disaster a couple of nights ago said, well, of course, all the environmentalists will say we have to get rid of all the dams now. I was like, goddamn, really?
No. It's just, you know, I don't know. I don't even, you know, it's even hard to kind of communicate because the idiocracy, stupidity has, like, reached notches unknown. The fact that these white people, and I'm saying it, you crackers fuck shit up. And this is where we are. 53% are white women, and fuck them, and all the other white people. Because me and mine, we all didn't vote for this motherfucker. So
walk around with a goddamn blue ribbon and a gold star on, I got the IQ test right.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, but the idea that your identity is so important that you would subject this whole country and world to this. White people need to check themselves. I don't know what they need to do, but decent people like you need to talk to these freaks because ain't
Sandra, we were going to try. Bernie was going to try Monday night in McDowell County last night.
Oh, I saw that. I'm just like, what the hell was that shutdown about?
You know what? I'm going to be real pissed next year when the McDowell County Republican Executive Committee has their bean and ramp and cornbread dinner down to the McDowell County Armory. I'm going to be real hot.
Armory, yeah. Well, I mean, that was obviously, you know, some BS. That didn't go down.
Yeah, it came strapped. I would bet my last dollar on the fact that it came straight down from Joe Manchin. Anybody who can vote for Jeff Sessions and Steve Mnuchin, you know, please.
Yes, I mean, just no shame at all. It's just like, why don't you just, you know, be a Republican and call it a day? I don't really understand.
Well, I mean, I can sort that one out real quick. Mitch McConnell likes having him right where he is because that means that any time that the Democrats decide to stand up on their hind legs, he's always got Joe Manchin there to shank him between the ribs.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a bit special. The Democrats, yeah, I mean, I don't even think they realize just how decimated they are because, you know, I'm still reeling from the fact that they just need one more state to change the goddamn Constitution.
The whole thing. They can say, no, we're just going to put in a balanced budget amendment and gavel it closed. Oh, no, they're not.
And life starts at, you know, the Big Bang. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, damn sure.
Right, and there's no, you know, because they're going after women. I mean, that first executive order, you know, is going to decimate women around the world because it's not just for family planning. That's for every healthcare dollar that goes out of this country, and it's outrageous.
Right, the Hyde Amendment, right?
Well, yeah, it's a Hyde Amendment, but you know, even that weirdo Bill Gates came out like going, "This is going to decimate untold millions of women and girls." And, you know, it's just, he did that right after that women's march. He's a vindictive motherfucker. That's what that's about.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Just to clarify things, no money that goes abroad can be used to support, and I highly disagree with this, and I know you do too, no federal dollars that go abroad can support abortion. But this rule has a nuance to it. It just says that if a health center offers abortion as part of its overall care plan, that they can't have federal money.
And any kind of HIV education too. So it's, you know, it's covering almost $1 billion worth of aid, not just what.
Because that's what the world needs is a little more HIV, right?
Oh, I mean, all of it is just. But the thing that's bugging me though is, I know the Democrats are trying, you know, because they're looking at these meetings everywhere and thinking, oh, what the fuck? But they feel weak as shit. You know, like I haven't heard that Kamala is going to say filibuster for this freak Gorsuch. Fuck him. No Supreme Court. No nothing. You got your shit stolen. You got a seat stolen. Nothing. Just filibuster. Let Mitch McConnell do the nuclear option. Let him do that shit. But the Democrats cannot support this Supreme Court guy. And, you know, I don't like hearing no noise about it. And I don't understand why the Democrats keep coming to a gunfight with a butter knife.
Well, and that's another one of those places where Joe Manchin figures into the equation because he...
Well, no, but they need... Yeah, but he ain't, you know, they need more than just him to get this guy through if they don't do the nuclear option. Don't they have to have 60?
Yeah, they do. They have to have 60. Yeah. And that's why there were six out of the nine people who met with Trump the other day over Gorsuch. Six out of the nine were Democrats.
No. I mean, I expect the Democrats to roll. I know. I think that people who are out in the streets who are, like, trying to press back, they can't look to the Democratic Party at this point. It's been decimated. It's a neoliberal shit show. And that's why they lost. Let's be honest.
Oh, I don't disagree. You know, look, I wound up voting for Hillary.
Well, I voted for Hillary too, obviously. But what I'm saying is that.
But the process itself was a disaster. It was a disaster in the making, and you know, Sandra, we haven't talked in a while or anything. But you know, I came to the conclusion that you know you really don't get another bite out of the apple after you lose in 2008, or you shouldn't. And now you got a former George Bush speechwriter out there penning an article a couple of days ago saying Hillary's going to run in 2020. And
You know what? That's baby boomer delusion. These people think they're going to live forever, these motherfuckers. Now, I'm a baby boomer, but I'm on the far end.
Yeah, you and me are the same age. We're on the low end.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, we're not benefiting from the disaster that is the baby boom generation. These motherfuckers destroyed... They're in the process of destroying the world. If you look at the Arctic, yikes.
Yeah,
all right?
and the South Pole ain't much better.
Yeah, but I'm saying that these people, and if for her to be thinking that that's a possibility at the age, you know what? Just either retire or die. We're done.
Well, what I want is a clear, definitive statement of, I ain't going to run, because all of these boomers that you mentioned are out there saying, you know, it's still her turn.
Well, no, I mean, you know what? There's Gillibrand. She can run. She said no to every motherfucker. Keep that in mind, because I do.
Well, and...
She said no to that, and she said no to the waiver for Mattis. And I'm like, great. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm looking at what people are doing at this point. I can't hear shit.
And your mention of Gillibrand is well taken because thus far, she remains. I think isn't she the only Democrat who has voted against every nominee?
Yeah, I don't know if this might maybe I haven't looked, but I know she is one. I don't know if there's other ones, but that could work well for her when we're in a dystopian nightmare. I just think that my biggest fear about Trump and these other sort of chaos theory freaks is, you know, we're going to have some sort of engagement with a nuclear weapon. I mean, I hope not. You know, that's my biggest fear because I got little ones that I care about, you know?
Right. And speaking of things you care about, Sandra, did you march?
Yeah, we was indignant. And that shit was on it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how big Denver was. You know, we expected 20,000. It was like 250.
Well, I mean, for my little tiny location, I couldn't believe 3,000 people showed up in Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, and the sort of invisible, that whole project that those ex-Congress staff has put together is awesome because that Utah thing was just like, wow.
You mentioned chaos theory. Is that a thing? Because suddenly people are waking up and taking to the streets?
Well, I think, no, I mean, the chaos theory is, you know, is the Bannons of the world. You know, there's no way these people can be successful unless they obliterate weak institutions or institutions that are still functioning. I mean, this isn't the Soviet Union. The U.S. still has institutions that can fight back. The problem is, you know, I've become a really huge fan of Madison with his factions. He was so right, along with George Washington. Read some history, party people.
Yeah,
Washington said that we need to not have parties because they tend to latch on to foreign governments to fuck us up. Hello?
Yeah, Federalist 10 is lovely reading, and it's free on the internet.
And it's not that difficult to follow, but George Washington said it. He said exactly what's going on now, that when you have parties, they may latch on to some foreign entity that's going to fuck with us. What's happening now? Am I missing something?
No, that's kind of where we are. Let me turn back to Gorsuch for just a minute, Sandra, because I haven't spent much time on him, and he deserves more time than I've spent. Am I just being petty, or is it okay for me to be deeply disturbed by the fact that he created a club in high school, a Jesuit high school, by the way, called Fascism Forever?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a sick motherfucker, and I don't care how... Well, I'm not a big Schumer fan, but I'm glad Schumer came out saying, ooh, I don't know about this dude. He ain't answering nothing right, which means all y'all need to call Schumer's office and say, filibuster. So, you know, I mean, he ain't got nothing to offer for us. He hates women. He hates unions. He's okay with money and politics. So those three things should be enough to get everybody to call and to say, Obama didn't get his pick, fuck you. That's all you need to say.
That's really what it boils down to. But, you know, the Fascism Forever thing just leaped off the page at me because, one, you know, this isn't some little high school out in Podunk, Colorado. This is a hot shit Jesuit high school in what, Washington D.C. at the time, because of who his nasty mother was. Remember?
Oh, who's his mother?
Oh my God, she was Reagan's EPA, and she was like some comic book character who just walked around with this cloud of toxins flowing from her.
But it's
a Jesuit. Well, that's true. But with this particular guy, it's a Jesuit high school, and you know, the Jesuits prize knowledge and learning and reason and logic, and you can't. And it's not like he founded the club in the last 3 months of his senior fucking year. And so for 4 years, not one of those Jesuit fathers, not one of those teachers pulled him aside and said, son, this isn't something, this is a match, this is a book of matches you don't want to play with, because millions of people got all dead because of fascism.
Well,
and it's time to grow up, son.
I know, but them motherfuckers are too busy banging 8-year-olds. So,
well, there's that.
I really am looking towards the policy, and, you know, these white people who are expecting, I don't know what, because where's the jobs? It's been 3 weeks, where's the jobs?
And you know what, it can be 3 years, and it'll still be, where's the jobs?
Oh, I know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, there's sort of hardcore Trump supporters, and then there's the conditional ones who are expecting... you know, him to deliver, but he ain't gonna deliver shit except misery.
Well, back here where I am, they're just waiting and waiting and waiting for all that coal to come back. Yeah, it's already gone. But they're okay. They're gonna give him time because it's gonna take a while to overcome all of them filthy things that Obama did in his war on coal, because that's what hurt us.
Oh, my God. Well, no, I mean, we're back to, I mean, I'm sorry.
You'd be running screaming in the yard if you lived here, Sandra.
Oh, my God. No, I don't, you know, I don't really get, the mentality, because these people think that he's going to do any, you know, he's going to do anything for them. He's not doing shit. In fact, he's going down to Mar-a-Lago again this weekend.
$3 million a pop for his golf game.
Yeah, and that Skeletor that he's married to, where that bitch?
Melanoma?
Oh my God! You know what I
no,
mean?
this was awesome for her because she gets to stay in New York, and not have to be pawed and groped at by that nasty old man that she married for money.
God, you know, yeah. Well, you know, but see, the whole, like, you know, there's like this meme of feeling sorry for bitch. I'm like,
no,
I don't feel sorry for bitch.
No, did you read about the deposition?
Yeah, no, I saw all that.
Yeah, she claims that she suffered economic harm in the lawsuit that she filed against some Murdoch paper. She suffered economic harm to the tune of hundreds of million of $150 million or something, because she admits in the deposition that she was planning on leveraging the White House to launch a line of clothing, jewelry, and shoes.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, on the plus side of our policy, satire is still allowed. So in case people don't know, when satire goes away, China, then you really are in authoritarian, dystopian wonderland. So the fact that Saturday Night Live can bust out with Leslie whatever, that Negro playing Trump,
oh,
that's awesome. I was dying. I thought, no, she is not, because she held tall, so it worked.
Oh, that was a beautiful thing. The idea that he's incensed because a woman played Spicer.
Oh no! And whole bitch who played that girl who played everybody, and she played Jefferson Beauregard. Came out saying this crime and whatever that line was. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. So good.
Yeah, and the quick hustle. Yeah, that's enough from the Attorney General. Thank you very much.
When Melissa pulled up them shoes, yeah, no. All that is on hit, and that needs to keep going. But, you know, I don't really know what to say. You know, I just think, well, if you're able to get a passport, because I know most Americans don't have one, get that going.
You know, I actually reached into my bag to check mine the other day to make sure that it's still in force.
That's what I'm saying. I just renewed my shit, so it's good for, you know. Until they come after you if you owe $2 in taxes. You know that bill, right?
No, what?
Oh, yeah. The Trump administration is enforcing a new, well, that's been on the books, but they're enforcing it. If you owe $50,000 in back taxes, they can revoke your passport. And the problem with that law is they can keep lowering that number. So,
Shit.
That wall might be there to keep your ass in.
Well, that's true, because I saw, and it gave me a little bit of hope. I saw something a couple of weeks ago about Norwegian Air is going to start offering $400 flights from, New Jersey, from New Jersey to Europe. And I'm like, that might be handy to bookmark.
Wow. No, you can do WOW Airline, which got some $200 ones to Europe, too.
Oh, so, no kidding.
You know, yeah, no, there's, you know. You always have to have a, you know, plot a way out. But no, I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious, but shit is kind of deep.
Well, it's way deep. And you know, we sit here and we laugh about Saturday Night Live satire and everything. But I think we've kind of got to have it. Otherwise, we're going to lose it.
Well, no, I think that the idea, you know, I keep going back to the idea of how factions or parties are really a bad thing, and we're seeing that play out. Because the idea that the Republicans, you know, are just, there are no patriots, per se. They're just, oh, my God, we're in power. We don't really care. We're going to ride this shit and try to destroy what we can of the New Deal. And then when he acts up too much, he bounces it off, and then we have a theocracy with VP Pence. I think that's what the plan is. You know, I think they cool, because when Trump implodes, they'll just usher his ass out and bring in this motherfucker.
And remember, he was anointed in the early days of the reign of error as a loyal Bushy. He was anointed as future president material.
And not only that, but if that motherfucker becomes president, TISA, TPP, TTIP, all that shit is going to come roaring back because he's a huge free trader. And, you know, I mean, he's going to, like, go after women, after gays, you know, Negroes. And so the Pence administration ain't going to bring no relief. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're way past right, because that that's why I said it, you know, if we could get a miracle, and we could get both houses of Congress back in 18, then get a twofer on both Pence and Trump, going all the way back to now, you know, the Flynn affair. Get rid of the both of their asses, and in the interim, just learn to say, "Madam President Pelosi" for a little bit.
Well, I'm sorry. I know
we're not fans.
No, but I'm way up into the man on the high castle solution. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but Washington is in a serious bubble, though, because I don't know what the Republicans are thinking with the health care. They seem to be a bit surprised that people are kind of like, oh, shit, no, I'm trying to survive, and you want to take this away. And they look to be a bit confused by the pushback.
Well, I was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and there's a lot of people up there shitting bricks. I mean, some.
You mean about their prospects? Yeah, because I just think that people, you know, that's the thing about if you provide a benefit, it's very hard to take it away.
And yet, here we've got Trump tweeting out once again that he's gonna get rid of the Affordable Care Act because it's failing. It's failing. Obamacare is failing.
I know. What is Trump's approval rating, Bob?
Three and a half, less than his shoe size, something like that?
I'm just saying, though, I think that the Republicans are looking at the everyday town halls and trying to say, oh, it's paid for. It ain't paid for. Keep saying that and get your ass voted out.
Look, when it gets as nasty as it got with Jason Chaffetz in Utah.
Oh, my God.
And a lot of this has to do with the indivisible movement. I mean, have you read that sort of...
Oh, no, it was awesome. No, that shit is on hit. They got all kinds of them out here. And I just think that the idea that people who know how government works is now sharing with the rest of us is unbelievable. All the other stuff is just noise. The fact that they're telling people and showing people how to make a difference. Because they also... My biggest problem, actually, is people don't really understand how fragile the voting situation is and that they need to check, double check, re-register, keep going, because there's so many ways to take away your vote now.
And I was thinking about one of the particular aspects of that. And for all I know, I'm part of it because, you know, when I moved from Alabama to here, and it was a long time ago, I changed my voter registration.
Yeah, that's what you do when you move. That's why it's absurd.
But the thing is, you just sort of assume that the office is going to take care of reaching out to Alabama and saying, oh, yeah, he's here, he's registered here now, so take him off your books.
No.
For all I know, I'm still on the books in Alabama.
Yeah, but, and then all of a sudden that makes you some sort of a felon. I mean, it's absurd.
Citing data that merely quantified that phenomenon as proof that 3 million illegal voters voted for Hillary and not Trump, you know, is that stoned or stupid, Sandra?
Yeah, well, no, but it's But it's successfully denying the franchise to millions. This is the thing. And the only way that can be changed is if individuals make an effort to verify their voting status. I mean, this is the problem. Not so much, obviously, in California and New York and other states that are, you know, more progressive in voting, but everywhere else where they want to suppress people. Because we don't really have any other options, you know, because the money is entrenched. And really, the protest is great, but, you know, all the people need to register and vote.
Well, without a doubt. Are you concerned about protest fatigue?
Well, yeah, there is protest fatigue, but I do think that because they're going after everybody else except for white people, there's a lot of motivation.
There's a big pool of people who can rotate through.
Yeah, and also if we can get the students activated, which would be Batman's War, because I think that they are planning some, you know, he's into, you know, this total chaos where, oh, we're going to be at war with China or Iran or something. But I really can't imagine Americans jumping to that, because it hasn't been enough time. You know, Iraq wasn't that long ago. And so if they think they're going to get, you know, poor kids to go or rile people up, I think Americans are a little bit more sus with that now. So I don't know how they're going to, you know, get people engaged in some sort of war in the Middle East. But the other problem is the Korean stuff is kind of disturbing, because are they going to do a first strike? I mean, what's happening there?
That worries me. Iran doesn't worry me at all. But
Iran doesn't. But that does, because I was looking at the area of where they shot. You know, they motherfuckers getting close. So
yeah, I mean, if they, I mean, but honest to God, North Korea's not crazy, are they, Sandra?
I think so, and I found it interesting that they took out that motherfucker in Malaysia. So, you know, the half-brother. You heard about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I just, you know, but if we have to rely on Trump and those fucking incompetent freaks to settle a crisis, I don't really know. I don't know what. I mean, if that display this past weekend is what we have to go by, aren't you a little bit concerned?
No, a lot. and frankly, I, under these circumstances, I'm as concerned about us as I am about them. I mean, that's a dicey little corner of the world.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy shit goes down. When the bombs start falling, I mean, you know, 500,000 or so North Korean troops pour across the DMZ into South Korea. And so,
maybe, you know,
so we're going to, you know, by extension, we'll be nuking South Korea too, because of, you know, just fallout.
Well, no, I just don't, you know, the whole idea of some sort of nuclear exchange at all, but I saw that brother who was carrying football. I mean, I don't know that brother.
Oh, Rick? Rick? Yeah.
I assume they probably replaced him since he was, you know, smiling on Facebook. I mean, I don't, you know, that just seemed really odd.
If you're that guy, how do you let somebody, hey buddy, I paid $200,000 to join this club. Can I take a picture of you with the nuclear football? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, all that is just really disconcerting, you know.
And you know, just the geography of North Carolina, the geography of North Korea is disturbing all by itself, because, you know, we've got the memory of MacArthur wanting to cross into China and everything. Mm-hmm. Pyongyang is a stone's throw from Beijing, but the thing that most people don't think about geographically is that
northeastern corner of North Korea butts up against who? Why, that would be Russia. No kidding. Because that was kind of what gave Russia the impetus to take a run at China back at the turn of the 20th century with the Russo-Japanese War, and the Japanese whipped their ass.
Right.
But, you know, look, the Bush Doctrine is preemptive war, Sandra.
Well, no, not only that, but I mean, I remember, what was the guy who used to be the head of the Supreme Ally Commander, Wesley Clark?
Yeah.
You know, he laid out that there was seven countries, you know, the whole plan, and all those countries that are on, you know, his banned list are the countries that we've been bombing nonstop, by the way.
Yeah,
Iran is the other one that's part of that list. So, you know, and everyone's all kind of like, oh, thank God there's, you know, Mad Dog Mattis. Well, Mad Dog Mattis got relieved of duty because he wanted to bomb Iran. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're feeling comfortable that that motherfucker's in charge.
Yeah, no, not a nickel's worth. And oh, and yeah. By the way, speaking of generals, did you just kind of let your jaw hang up, catching flies when you saw that one of the top three replacements for Michael Flynn is, you know, Petraeus?
Oh, I know. No, listen, that fool. I'm just like, are you kidding me? I mean, he has to still check in with his parole officer. Tell me how that's going to work.
I mean, no, really, he's still on probation. That's not a joke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has to check in. It's just like, really? You know, that's not company.
And
so, oh, that motherfucker had to do some pussy to steal everything. So I'm not very confident.
No, but how does he even get on the list?
Well, no, but if new pussy can turn him like that, well, what hope do we have?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Oh, but God almighty. No, it's terrifying. I mean, there's a lot of people out there having a lot of nightmares, not sleeping well. People are having medical issues, going to the doctor, and the doctor say, well, you know, have you had a traumatic event in your life? I mean, I know this to be a fact. And they say, well, you know, the election of Trump, and the doc looks at him and goes, well, that'll do it.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, think about the sort of expansion of the Roundup, which is disturbing here in California because, you know, it's not just, you know, some cartel person. They ship it out, you know, just mothers and whoever. It's horrible.
Yeah, if you got a parking meter violation that you forgot to pay, suddenly you're prone to being rounded up in the middle of the night and shipped off to God knows where.
Well, no, but the problem is, which I think maybe the courts will step in again, is that there are more brown people who are citizens. So when they start, and which they have been doing, just harassing Americans, like with papers, you know, it's a problem because you can't do that. And so if they're profiling, that's outrageous. And that's what they're doing. Apparently they've been hassling American citizens who are picking up their children in Hispanic areas.
And I can't begin to fathom that. I mean, you know, you're 6 years old, you're first grade, and mommy ain't there now?
No, they in South Boston took in all the Irish strongholds because there's 50,000 or more, according to the Irish embassy in D.C., of Irish people who are staying illegal. You think they rocking up in those communities?
No.
No.
No, and the same goes for the illegal Russians. I mean, remember, I mean, it, or say, the, how about the illegal Slovenians, Sandra?
Yeah, because
remember when malaria first came here, she was on a visitor's visa or a student visa and immediately started working, you know, as a model, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Well, no, that bitch was on her back, but that's fine. You can call it what you want.
Well, but the thing is, they're not rounding those folks up either.
Yeah, no, it's all because it's just racist, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, Bannon and that sort of global lookalike, Miller?
Oh.
Are you kidding me with that guy?
Oh.
I read about him in his little high school here in California.
Oh, he was a shit weasel.
Oh, he's horrible. I mean, it gets back to any liberals out there who are, like, trying to tell me or anybody else not to laugh about that fascist who got punched. Remember that video?
Oh, no. Well, see, and there's a connection there, Sandra, because Stephen Miller is a student of Richard Spencer.
Yeah, no, they was buddies in that Duke, right?
Yeah, among other things, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes, you know, liberals are like, I don't know what planet, I don't know if it's too much privilege or what, but when I saw that motherfucker get pinched and punched by Black Box, I was dying. And then I was upset because all these people talking about the violence, they're like, no. This motherfucker wants to kill me and people who look like me. Fuck you, you know?
Yeah, and right. Enough with the smelling salts and the pearl clutching.
Oh, my God.
And, well, the same thing, as far as I'm concerned, the same thing applies to Berkeley. Oh, this left-wing violence and suppression of free speech has got to end. You know, God damn it.
You know what that guy wanted to do? He wanted to tell people how to turn in illegal students. He's all about harming people. I'm sick of the ACLU defending people who want to harm. Fuck you. And your free speech.
Well, no. Well, that's the whole point that I make, though, Sandra. What Milo Yiannopoulos was doing ain't free speech. It's incitement to riot. If you know, just because people that aren't on your ideological side of the spectrum are the ones who riot doesn't mean that you're not committing incitement. The speech he was engaging in should not have been protected in the first place because it is unprotected speech under the First Amendment. I'm not talking about, you know, that I want to get rid of the First Amendment. Incitement to riot is not protected fucking speech.
Well, I know, but it's just the whole idea that somehow, you know, if you got a cross burning or someone threatening and saying they want to end your life, that there's some protection there. And it's like, to me, it just looks like the oppressors are always the beneficiary of the law. And those of us who are being shat on, oh, well, you know, the Millennium Dialogue for you. That's all.
Well, yeah, and it's absolutely true, and even you know, even us entirely misunderstood poor white folks, we are to a certain extent in the mix. It's going to be okay to kill off a bunch of poor dumbass whites here in Appalachia, like we talked about. You ain't going to be no more coal, ain't going to be no jobs.
Well, no, they don't care about, that's the thing about the those people who supported him. They, you know, he don't give a fuck about you. Your situation as a sort of, you know, poor white person is obviously much more in line with people of color who are struggling. But the idea that these white people cannot let go of their identity, benefits, or whatever they think is going on, it's infuriating, you know. I don't know what it takes. I mean, because in West Virginia, for example, it's like all those rules to end the stream protection, everything, that's going to be to the detriment of citizens of your state. Everything's going to be even more poisoned. And yet they voted for Trump in what, at 72%?
Well, yeah, but I put an asterisk by that, Sandra, because
okay,
that's 72% of, you know, a relatively crummy ass turnout. So that's 72% of 25%.
Oh, no. I know the overall percentage is really low, which explains the sort of nonstop protest that's going on, because I think a lot of people were like, oh shit, you know, because they didn't exercise their right to vote. But we're not in a position to criticize those people. We need everybody. All right. I don't care if you voted for who. You see what's going on now, and everyone's welcome to resist. So I'm not one of those people who given folks a hard time who voted the way I didn't want them to. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand. I'm a little put out with people who went third party in states that were in play.
Yeah, no. I understand that. You know, there is a lot of, you know, you're like, oh my God, what have you done? But I just mean going forward, you know, we got to figure out some way of getting a house or something, because at the moment, you know, we don't have access to any levers of power. Right,
yeah, there's no way to slow them down. I mean, being in the streets is, the streets and the courts are pretty much all there is. And
the constant, going to see your rep when you can. I mean, I do think that's rattling Republicans. I don't think they expected that. So that's good.
Well, neither Joe Manchin nor Shelley Moore Capito or any of the three Republicans here in West Virginia are even remotely thinking about having a town hall.
Oh, no, they won't. But the arrogant ones, like Chaffetz, you know, he just thought he was going to rock up and everything good. So that was a very good display for him.
And they showed up with another Republican in Florida?
And Tennessee. You know, all the red states. And, you know, I'm like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
oh, yeah, it was Diane Black got her lunch eaten.
Oh, no, they was all up in her ass. I was like, oh, damn. So
and you know, let's be a little bit optimistic. It's hopeful when that happens in Tennessee.
Ooh.
I mean, when you see it, when you start seeing that shit go down in Mississippi, Stan, and Alabama, you'll know game on.
Yeah, no. So I am always, you know, optimistic no matter how cynical I sound, because, you know, I do care. So that's, you know, you got to have some empathy, because I do think there's a huge empathy deficit in this country, which is part of why we're in the situation we're in now, you know?
Well, unfortunately, yeah. So are you, I mean, I know you're working your ass off. Are you maintaining your sense of humor and your equanimity otherwise?
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm, yeah, you know. I'm in, what do they call California? Left coast or whatever?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're a bi-coastal elite.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, we do, you know, thankfully, I think we got a two-thirds, you know, super majority up in this mug. And, you know, Kevin DeLeon was his fine-ass Latinos on TV every other day talking about, fuck you, Trump, fuck you, Trump, fuck you, Trump. So, you know, the attitude is right. Even now Jerry Brown was like, we'll send up our own satellite, motherfucker. So the attitude is right here.
Yeah, it makes me a little bit jealous. Let me ask you this, because I know they mean so much to you. How are your nieces?
Oh, no, they're okay. I mean, they were disturbed. They were crying after that fucking...
God almighty, they gotta be growing up like weeds.
Well, no, they're like going to be 15, but they, you know, they spent their whole, you know, whatever consciousness with, you know, pleasant Obama. And so now they're looking at this troll and they're like, oh my God. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, that's they've got Auntie Sandra to begin with, but they're getting a big old dose of political consciousness, right smack dab opening of their own consciousness.
Well, Simone, you know, she wants to be a lawyer, so I don't know what that tells you. I was like, oh my God. So yeah, she does art, but she wants to, you know, use law as backup. I'm like, oh my God, good luck.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, that's better than wanting to be an actor and waiting tables as a backup.
Oh, I know. No. I mean, no. Everyone's supporting it, but no. She's kind of coming to her own. She's quite political, doing volunteer stuff. Fighting off the boys. So that's always good for me, because I got that shotgun waiting.
So are they down there with you?
No. They're up in Northern California.
Okay, yeah.
But no, everything's good, you know, for them. You know, there's a strong family network, which is good. But no, they're like, where's Obama?
Bring him back. Get him off that damn island.
Well, you saw that tweet that he did, like, just wishing, you know, his woman happy Valentine's. And the comments were like, oh, my God, you know, is there a loophole? You know, just people freaking out.
Oh, I saw it. It was just a picture of their feet in the sand.
Yeah, no, and everyone's like, oh, my God, you know. So, but it's, I mean, you know, for Obama, though, if I was him, I'd be like, whatever. You know what, folks? You treated me like he did, so enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I'm going to fly off to Kenya and do some Muslim stuff for a while just to drive you crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I don't have anything. It's just, I'm mainly worried about the foreign policy area and war.
I tuned in God help me Morning Joe this morning, and I heard some asshole say, well, say whatever you want to say about anything else, he's put together a very strong foreign policy team. And I'm like, god damn, do they just shoot you with Thorazine before at 5 a.m I mean, with the Flynn thing, and we've got a what? I mean, Rexon Tillerson.
What? That's funny. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's, what does he know? Except, I don't really understand that particular cabinet pick outside of the sort of turning the U.S. into a sort of petro state. I don't.
Well, I mean, I don't think you have to go much further than that. And when I read that, you know who recommended him, right?
Who?
Kind of Sleazy Rice.
Oh, that's right, because that bitch is on the board of Exxon.
Chevron.
Okay, well, Exxon, Chevron.
And so, you know, you scratch mine, I'll scratch yours. Mm. And he's got 60 million acres that he wants to drill in Russia that's worth $500 billion.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they lift the sanctions, then it's like lights on that, right?
Exactly. And in the meantime, I mean, this gets a little complicated, but if I understand it correctly, the outlet for that oil was going to be a pipeline that ran through Ukraine.
Mm.
But the Ukrainians wanted to tax the oil going through the pipeline. So instead, he took over, he did what he did in the Crimea, so that instead they can just run the pipeline to Crimea, put it on boats, and send it through the Bosporus. And that's how that works.
Right, but I mean, but so Tillerson is, well, I guess.
Well, goddamn, he's already received the Loyal Order of Friend of Mother Russia medal, for Christ's sakes. There was there's pictures of fucking Putin pinning it around his neck.
Oh, my God. Well, was that a different session than Flynn and Jill Stein, or the same thing?
No, that's different.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole nother.
I can't keep up.
No, Flynn and Jill Stein playing footsie with Putin is a different photograph.
Oh.
Yeah, and the Greens in Russia, said, what the f*** are you doing, Jilly?
What about that poor motherfucker who has complete organ failure for the second time? I would think one time would be enough.
Damn. How many? Well, you know, these things happen. You know, these things happen.
Well, I mean, you know, Bob, I'm going to have to let you go, but it was nice to.
Oh, I'm so glad you. I've been getting messages of hallelujah chorus emails for your calls. Reverbo just said, Sandra, a rare caller Hall of Fame contribution. It's the lucky listener tonight who tunes into the horn. And Ron and Raleigh said, Choirs of angels are singing. Sandra's back.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's...
And that's just a couple of them.
People. Oh, my goodness. Well, no, but I mean, you know, I may have to make it a bit more regular since we're on the fast track of totalitarianism.
Yeah, well, you know, now that we've re-entered the swamp of madness, it might actually be therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah, no, anyway. Okay, well, listen, you know. Love everyone, and I'm out.
All right. You have a wonderful Southern California evening, Sandra. Take care. And thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Don't worry. Next time, Sandra and I will get totally shallow and talk about sports. But the one and the only, the inimitable, except no substitutes, that's Sandra. And so good to hear from her. I'm going to take a break here, but I had a note from Carol a minute ago responding to an almost, a fresh twoop. Trump tweeted, Obama, and I mentioned this a minute ago, Obamacare continues to fail. Humana to pull out in 2018, will repeal, replace, and save health care for all Americans. To which Carol Baker responded, if only your father had pulled out back in 45. Ain't that the damn truth? So let's take a break. And, hey, thanks very kindly to Brian. We are down to only $300 to go in fundraising for the evening. Maybe we can take a bite out of it, and we'll just finish it through the course of the week. We got, like I said, $300 to go. 10 at 30, 30 at 10, 1 at 300, 2 at 150, 3 at 100, et cetera. 12 at 25. But if you're inclined to help, run over to headonradionetwork.com and click on the Contribute tab and just, you know, help us keep it all going. Because, like I've said before, I think we're going to need this I need this for the next couple of years. And the conversation is what keeps me sane. And y'all tell me it's what keep you sane as well. Will in Chicago in the chat room says, so, Bob, my theory that Mussolini's soul escaped from hell and implanted itself in Donald Trump may have merit. Man, that is the most terrifying. That's the most terrifying manifestation of the transmigration of souls theory that I think I've ever heard. Yeah, yeah, Will, indeed. So yeah, let's take a quick break. Oh, by the way, too bad Daddy didn't pull out. Yeah, we got a cowbell for that. All right, break time. Green News Report on the way. And after that, well, back to the conversation. Lines are open. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. Now, why on earth would I play this?
It's a cartoon town. I played my part and I ain't spoke her name in years. So marry me. She bang, won't you marry me? Your mama thinks I beat everything she's ever seen. Well, this old town's alright with me. It's not where I'd rather be. Is this thing mad at one another? But it can't get mad at me. Let's call.
Tuesday, February 14, 2017.
The Oroville Dam, the nation's tallest just north of Sacramento, now at record levels. Its emergency spillway in danger of failing and unleashing uncontrolled floodwaters on towns below.
California dodges a bullet, for the moment, at Oroville Dam.
This is a wake-up call that we've got deferred maintenance needs that literally put people's lives at risk.
U.S. not prepared for climate impacts on infrastructure. Judge rejects tribe's request to halt Dakota Access Pipeline construction. Plus,
do not be in a position where you may find yourself in front of a fire, because you won't survive it.
Extreme heat brings extreme fire danger to Australia.
All of those stories and Desi with a cold straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Do you believe in science? Because I do.
Republican congressman versus 10-year-old girl at town hall meeting.
I do support an all-of-the-above energy strategy, and I do think coal is an important part of that.
10-year-old girl winning. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know we've got a lot going on today. I know you're fighting that cold.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, up in the Dakotas, bad news for the Native Americans fighting the pipeline up there.
Yes, and yet another blow to Native American tribes. A federal judge has rejected a request by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe for a temporary injunction to halt construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline near their reservations in North Dakota, which the tribes say threatens their sacred sites and water supply. That same judge will hear the tribe's broader lawsuit later this month. Meanwhile, it looks like California has dodged a bullet for now. The threat of a breach at the Oroville Dam in North Central California, the tallest dam in the United States, has eased. That's according to state officials. But a mandatory evacuation on Sunday for nearly 200,000 residents below the dam remains in effect. After 5 years of historic drought, a series of storms have filled the reservoir above capacity for the first time in its 50-year history. Emergency water releases to reduce pressure on the dam have seriously damaged its two spillways, which now threatens to undermine the entire structure's integrity.
Yeah, I think the key there is for now. With rains coming in, this is still a very precarious situation.
Yes, it is. And there's a short window of opportunity to make emergency repairs before more storms and the spring snowmelt arrive. That's according to the acting director of the State Department of Water Resources, Bill Croyle.
We're working to really dig down into the reservoir and move as much water out of that reservoir so we have space for the storms that we expect to come in, as well as the snow runoff later this spring.
Environmental advocacy group Friends of the River and the Sierra Club had warned the Bush administration and the state about this exact scenario occurring today. They did that 12 years ago. But the state water agencies were reluctant to pay the estimated $100 million price tag for the upgrades, so federal regulators didn't require them. In an interview on the broadcast, Friends of the River Executive Director Eric Wesselman urged that once this crisis has passed, it's time to address long-standing infrastructure issues.
Take these lessons learned and start taking action to shore up our infrastructure, to make sure that communities are protected and people are protected, as well as, you know, the rivers and the fish and wildlife that call them home that were blown out by these massive releases out of Oroville.
You know, I'm really tired of these folks, these environmentalists and so forth, giving warnings about these things, being ignored, and then years later, once it's too late, being proven right.
And speaking of advance warning, climate change also plays a role, not just lurching California between the extremes of drought to deluge, but also because warmer California winters mean much of this precipitation is falling as rain, not snow. And that's also impacting the state's billion-dollar commercial salmon fishing industry.
Because if it was snow as opposed to rain, it wouldn't fall all at once.
Quite a few Senate Republicans are now...
Right. Meanwhile, it's summer down under, and Australia is again facing a record heat wave and catastrophic fire danger, with fire officials warning conditions for the next week are similar to, if not worse than, the conditions that led to the deadly catastrophic bushfires in 2009. New South Wales Deputy Fire Commissioner Rob Rogers warned residents in affected areas to just leave.
The simple message to the community in those areas particularly affected by catastrophic fire conditions is do not be in a position where you may find yourself in front of a fire because you won't survive it.
And a new report from climate tracking group Carbon Brief concludes that based on current observed trends, the risk of mega fires like those in Australia is projected to increase around the world as the climate warms.
Well, it's starting to seem like this whole climate change thing may not be a hoax by the Chinese after all. I don't know, just looking at evidence, but, you know, ignore me. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I hate to be needy, selfish and greedy, but please pay attention to me.
Yeah, California reached out for federal disaster relief after the evacuations at Oroville Dam. No word on that from... him. A little bit of news came out earlier today, probably didn't make a big splash, but, you know, I'm going right back to the phones, by the way. Probably didn't make a big splash, but, you remember how I said that things like the Mar-a-Lago situation must just drive the Secret Service absolutely batshit? Headline, Secret Service Director Announces Retirement. Dateline today. United States Secret Service Director Joseph Clancy announced his retirement to the staff Tuesday, a spokesperson tells CNN. The success of the Secret Service is achieved with great sacrifice by all of you and your families, Joseph Clancy said in a letter to employees. Please accept my sincere and heartfelt thanks for your dedication to our mission. You've inspired me. My hope was that I could return your gifts of inspiration with some measure of good for the Secret Service. Took over as acting director of the agency October 2014, sworn in as permanent director February 2015. My love for this agency has only complicated the decision further, but for personal reasons, it's time. I look forward to spending time with my family. He said his retirement was effective March 4th. Not hard to get a handle on that one, is it? Nope, sorry. I've given my life and my career to the Secret Service of the United States, and I'm not going to see it all come crashing down around me in a flaming heap because the President of the United States can't resist going and taking selfies with a wedding party at Mar-a-Lago, and some wackadoodle comes up and wackadoodles him. No, not me, not on my watch. He can pick some asshole of his own choosing and let that guy take the fall. Yeah, Agnes pointed that out to me. She's got a nose for these kinds of stories. It's pretty neat. Let's go over and talk to Gerald. Hey, Gerald.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Bob?
I think
you've been ill.
Been better. Still not great. I'm not even at good. I'm not even at okay, but I'm here.
Are you fair? Can we say fair?
Let's downgrade to Midland.
Midland. I think you're using old terms there.
They work.
I'm going to have to start translating. Or you'll translate for me, you know.
Well, yeah. Anyway. Hey, I got to ask you before we get busy. Ever been to a bean dinner at the Coonskin Armory?
No. Actually, I've never been in there. I live like a mile.
Yeah, I knew you were pretty close, but I'm...
New bridge is just like, I mean, it's right, literally, I could walk down there in just a little bit.
Well, I asked because I do know that there have been no small number of political events at the Coonskin Armory.
Oh, yeah. Gun shows, there have been gun and knife shows there, all kind of stuff. I don't know how that, you know, I don't know if they're doing that anymore. Because that was the whole purpose for that bridge, because of the base security and all of that. So really, there's no access to it unless you come in the old way. And I haven't even tried to come through there. It's all blocked off at the end of the park. They've got a big turnaround and stuff because the Kanawha Valley Model Railroad Association has a building there between the guard and the park. And they needed access to their building. But I digress.
Well, you know why I ask.
Oh, yeah, I know why you ask. Of course I know why you ask.
Yeah.
Funny how those rules only apply to certain people.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I'm going to be real pissed off when the Gilmer County Republican Party has their bean dinner at the Gilmer County Armory.
Hey. Speaking of the mansions.
Yeah, see what you did there.
Did you see where the two state Board of Education members resigned? Two more?
No.
Resigned?
No.
I had the article there and I just lost it. Yeah, they're dropping like flies. Apparently, I guess Gail's hard to get along with.
It sounds like, and maybe it's rat. Could the rats have finally figured out a way off the sinking ship?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's awfully funny. I mean, it's a 9-member board, if my memory serves me correctly, and this makes four, maybe five that have already quit this year since the new administration took over.
Wonder what they know that we don't.
Well, reading between the lines, a lot.
Well, and just for people playing at home, somehow, mysteriously, ineluctably.
I'm going to laugh here, okay?
Yeah. After Jim Jobs, Kunta Kinte Story Justice got inaugurated governor, well, lo and behold, if he didn't make Joe Manchin's wife the Secretary of Education?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Now Gail is not exactly an educational Solon, but she, in the past, among other things, helped drive Daryl McGraw's wife off the school board. And I don't know why, but you know, there she is. And of course, the things are about to get real, real nasty for schools in this state, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. What did she had another cabinet position under another administration? What? I can't remember.
Didn't she sit on the RISA board under Tomlin?
I think she's been on several boards. Funny how that works out when you're the wife of the ex-governor and sitting senator. Yeah, she's a education and arts secretary of education and the arts. But I don't know what she did prior to that. Anyway,
well, anything to keep her away from Joe, right?
Well, I guess. Hey, I heard you talking about Hillary in 2020.
Yeah,
earlier.
Does that give you the dribbling squirts?
I've just got one thing to say to that. If the DNC does that in 2020, I'm out. I mean, forever. I'm out. I'll go green, independent. Pastafarian, whatever it takes, I'm out. I mean, moving right along.
I understand, but you don't just dismiss that out of hand. I mean, that particular article, Asa pointed it out to me on my Facebook page. That particular article was written by a former George W. Bush speechwriter. So it may be it's just a masturbation fantasy. But, you know, I said it 2 months ago that she ain't done. Because there's too much money to be made. Robbie Mook is not nearly as rich as he would like to be. And this country be damned. And the way the reasoning goes is, she's going to be the same age in 2020 as Bernie Sanders was when he ran last year. So why can't she? Completely oblivious to the fact that she was roundly rejected by a shit ton of people in the primaries who hate her to this day and still won't vote for her in 20, and bolstered by people around her whispering, "Yeah, but Hillary, you won the popular vote, okay? I mean, this is a one-off. This is an anomaly. Third time's the charm, right, babe?"
Shaka, when the walls fell.
Oh, Darmod and Jalad at Tanagra. I know. Timba, his arms wide.
Those are obligatory Star Trek references.
Thank you very kindly. We're about to get through the program without one, and we can't have that, Gerald.
Cannot have that. Cannot have that at all. Even if I have to email one to you. Yeah.
So are we gonna have a merry time of it in this legislative session down Charleston way?
The first day I kind of perused through the bills that were introduced and didn't see a whole lot there, but I haven't had the intestinal fortitude to look at it again because I'm just afraid. I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, a couple of years ago, we were discussing, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for the people in this state in particular to open up their eyes and see what's going on, who's actually harming them. And I think we're getting ready to see that. That reckoning is coming. I mean, that's, you know, they've already announced that they're not going to raise any taxes here. It's going to be more cuts, and we've already cut everything except DHHR and education.
Right, but where you see where Jim Justice wants to raise the taxes, right?
Yeah.
Liquor, beer, and wine.
Good luck with that.
Well, I mean, you know, that's an easy get because all the pious pray in the street Christians will be all for it, and the non drinkers won't mind. When in fact, you know, there'd be a goddamn riot in the street if it was another half a penny on the soda pop.
Oh yeah.
And while I'm at it,
or a nickel on the gallon of gas.
While I'm at it, though, is my memory faulty, or do I recall people trying to tell people like Joe Manchin that there would be a shitstorm coming if we got rid of the sales tax on food? Do I remember that right?
Yeah.
I mean, two or three close people.
Yeah, a dozen at best. Yeah. I questioned that myself. When they did that, well, it's going to be a phase out over time. You know, as people not familiar with our state tax, it was 6%. Sales tax in this state is 6%, consumer sales tax. And that same, that applied to food as well.
I despise,
like 4 years, wasn't it?
I despise regressive taxation as much or more than the next guy.
Well, here's how I try to explain it to the knuckle-dragging, mouth-droop breathers raise my taxes. Look, I just spent $90 to have my wife's car front-end aligned because of our shitty roads. And I would gladly pay another 50, 60 bucks a year in some kind of tax to fix the roads in this state, which are horrid. I'm sure you'll agree.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. I just don't understand the mentality. I don't guess I ever will. But there's that, you know.
Well, hell, I mean, I don't know what it's. We've been somewhat lucky this winter. Of course, it's far from over.
Oh, yeah, it's been a very mild winter.
But even when we've got, you know, a little pissant snow, we can't clear it. I mean, is it that way in Kanawha County? Because it's that way in Fayette. I mean, tertiary road 72 over 1 over 912 doesn't get cleared. I understand that.
Yeah.
But when you can't clear U.S. 19 across New River Gorge Bridge of 2 inches of snow, excuse me.
Yeah, that's just the way it is, Bob. Actually, we don't get the snow that you do, so there's that too.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're a little bit more hillier than down, you know, all the way into the valley, but
yeah, I mean, it's like I'm over towards the western part of the state or anything.
Well, you're not the only one who's perturbed, shall we say, by the idea of Hillary in 2020. Jay Cruzan just wrote in and said, I will rip my left arm off and beat myself to fucking death with it if she even tries. Please let me hear you call her the devil.
See,
one more time.
I don't get to reverb. So
yeah, I know. So I figured it wouldn't bother you. That's why I did it.
Yeah. Of course, you're not going into your ranch. Hillary, God damn it. Oh,
God damn it. Hillary, fucking email. God damn it. Benghazi, take. George Soros, Goldman Sachs speeches, dynasties. Oh, Jesus Christ! Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, I like that. That kind of brings a little smile to my face. As long as you don't like pop a blood vessel or something in your
No, but at this point in time, I'm worried more about blowing open my diaphragm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gut hurts. This is not. And this is This is not a time for that to be occurring. But yeah, you don't get to pick and choose. And so far, they haven't cloned. And see, that's a problem for me. I always thought it would. You know, science fiction nerd that I am, Gerald. I always thought it would nice to. It would be nice to have a cloned me on ice. And oh, okay, let's put in the new heart now.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, you know, my entire digestive tract and test, everything in my gut is fucked up. So having a cloned me, yeah, put the fucked up pancreas back in. Oh, great. Yeah.
You should have bet on the heart, not on the guts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I want to know where the hell my flying car is.
You know, don't you?
Where is my flying car and my jetpack?
You know, don't put that shit on Saturday morning TV for children to watch if you're not going to try to come through with it.
Or Popular Mechanics magazine.
Well, that's true, too.
I mean,
I know Reverbo's still waiting for his helium-filled pants.
Damn right. And what was on the cover of every Popular Mechanics magazine you ever picked up in the doctor's office?
Oh, flying fucking car.
Flying car or a jetpack. Or a rocket. I'd even settle for a rocket.
Yeah, but they're so, I don't know, single use. The rocket goes up. Who cares where it comes down? It's not my concern, says Wernher von Braun.
Something like that. Yeah.
But no, it's a little frustrating. In point of fact, science fiction nerd that I am, I was thinking about some science fiction the other night while I was. I probably should have had all my electronic devices taken away from me. But these little marbles roll around in my head, Gerald.
Yes.
And little things, they bang into little things.
I've heard them.
I know. It sounds a little like a cowbell.
Similar, yes.
And every now and then they'll bang into a neuron that'll cause something and make me go, huh? And I just had this memory of being an adolescent reading Robert A. Heinlein's Starship Troopers, which, for those who haven't read it, is it's pretty fascist. You know,
how fitting.
You can't be a citizen if you haven't done federal service. But it was along the same time that I was reading how. Steve Bannon thinks we're going to be at war with the Chinese within 5 years in the South China Sea. I went, something. Because Bannon is a nerd, too.
Yeah.
When he can sober up. And Starship Troopers was first published in 1959. It was the first novel Robert A. Heinlein published that was not so-called juvenilia. And it's a platform for some of his libertarian preachments that would be more fully set forth in things like The Moon is a Harsh Mistress and Stranger in a Strange Land. But there was something, and so I went and reread it. Didn't take long. It wasn't nearly as cool as it was when I was, 12.
Of course not.
But there it was. It took a while to find it, but there are two references in Starship Troopers to where Heinlein refers to everything changing and the Federation becoming the Federation after humanity had given up on its misguided attempts at democracy, part of which was the result of the great Anglo-Russo alliance versus the Chinese hegemony war. And I went, I knew it. And that's exactly what's going on. Now, Russia, according to the foreign policy people, they're not real keen on going toe-to-toe with China. But goddamn Trump and Bannon are.
I was getting ready to say anyone that is sane would be the same way. you know, that's another thing. So many of these rednecks around here think that the Chinese are just some, you know, backwards people squatting in a rice field somewhere. You know, they've got technology too. Probably a lot of it's probably better than ours. You know, they just launched their first aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
How long do you think it'll be before their next one comes? But it won't be long. And they're just to underestimate them is well, foolhardy, I think. But then what the hell do I know? I'm just some libtard that lives in West Virginia.
You snowflake.
Yeah, I don't get to snowflake much. I get libtard mostly. Libtard.
Oh, you're not messing with the right neo-Nazis.
Well, I just don't troll as hard as some of you do. You know, I try to stay off of social media anymore because I just it's pointless. It's pointless. But I'm still waiting on my damn flying car. I really am.
Well, and Robert just wrote in from Australia because he likes the sciencey stuff too. Subject line: flying car. The flying car is known as an aeroplane or a helicopter. No, but that's the whole thing. No, I mean the popular science covers and everything. You would drive, you know, and they all looked like, you know, 50s sedans and 60s
short
coupes.
Little stubby little wings on.
Yeah, you're driving along, and you know, let's fly the rest of the way. And you press the button, and the wings come out, and the tails and the fins come out. Yeah, right. And so you fly. And in fact, I saw another one of these probably not 2 months ago in a Facebook video. And it's some guy out not too far from the Google campus who's trying to raise venture capital to build these things. Now, won't the FAA just have, and that's probably the bottom line of what happened to it. The FAA said, oh, great. You mean the people who are driving cars on the ground, we're just going to let them zip around in the air? Oh, that's going to work out so well.
Yeah, I'm certain that was probably the biggest factor in why it never that. And, well, you know, capitalism.
I remember way, you know, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, big workers' comp lawyer down in Logan used to fly his own helicopter to hearings in Beckley.
Oh, like Bill Cole.
Oh, does Bill do that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did. Flew his own helicopter. Of course, you can do that when you're a millionaire.
Yeah, and, you know, helicopters ain't easy to fly.
No, and I'm pretty sure they're expensive. Doubt that I could fuel one up. Well, maybe once, till the visa was declined.
Well, I've got a list of what happens when I, you know, win the $500 million Powerball. Learning to fly might be one.
You know, I kicked it around one time, and it takes a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money.
Oh.
Like $7,000 or $8,000 by the time you're done with just a single engine certification.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, you'd want to do what's IFR. You'd want to be able to do instrument flight rules.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, just so you can have the total experience.
Well, that and you couldn't get stuck somewhere. I read on some thing on the internet. A guy was talking about he flew into Beckley, the little airport there in Beckley, and weather was nice when he left. Wherever it was, he left. It wasn't too far away. And got socked in by the snow, and he couldn't leave because he was only VFR certified. I mean, the conditions weren't so bad you couldn't fly, but it was, you know, instrument flight rules. It had changed that quickly. And so there he was stuck for like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. We just got a note in from Cindy in the Great Northwest. She said, flying cars? Picture millions of them without any lanes, having road rage.
They can't even keep the damn cars in their own lane on the ground.
Hey, there we go.
Have you noticed that? I've noticed that here recently, the past few years. Every time I go down the road, some asshole is over in my lane, part of his car right over, right on the center line. What is up with that?
Well, that's known as...
distracted driving?
No, that's demanding your half the road, the middle half.
It is a shared road system. We must share the road.
Well,
if everyone drives like an asshole, that's how you get road rage.
We're so past sharing anything. That's so Kenyan Muslim you slurper commie sharing things.
This is true. That fuck you, I got mine, you get yours, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, why them union fellers make so damn much money when I'm making $9 an hour?
Well, maybe that's your fault.
Exactly. And you know the other side of it, and I've complained about it for years. And I'll piss off my Ohio friends. But it is a known true fact that if I am toddling down the road, say, let's say I'm going up I-79 because I got a hankering for a Permanente Brothers sandwich up in Bridgeport.
You're talking about the left lane bandits, aren't you?
I'm talking about if you can see 2 miles up the road and there's a car in the left lane, it is guaranteed to be going under the speed limit. And when you get up within a visual identification range of it, it will have an Ohio license plate.
I call those the left lane bandits. If they take the left lane and they hold it up, no matter what. And yes, you're right. Around here, it's mostly people with Ohio tags.
And what drives me nuts is the fact that if you are an adherent of the rules of the road, you know that you don't overtake on the right.
Correct.
Because it is inherently dangerous.
Well, then you get to go, I paid my taxes, I'll drive in any lane I want. Well, the right lane is the travel lane. The left lane is for passing only. That's in your owner's or in your driver's manual.
What's that? I learned to drive daddy's farm use only truck out in the fields.
Right. And that's all fine and well until you take to the public highway system. It is a shared road system. But then again, like you said, we're way past that. People.
By the way, for your viewing pleasure, Robert in Australia suggests, check out a 1930s sci-fi comedy musical, Just Imagine, New York with flying cars and traffic cops floating in the sky. It's set in 1980. Well, and that's just like Starship Troopers. The great Anglo-Russo alliance war against the Chinese hegemony took place in 1987.
See, we're all around that magic number of 1984.
But not just that. It's that if you're a libertarian, anarcho-randian, right-wing, whatever, you have at your core this expectation that the Great War is eventually going, it's just any time now, and then we're going to fix all our problems and live in libertarian utopia.
Right. Because freedom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Just want to make sure. So I need to have my 5 gallon buckets of freeze-dried granola flake cereal.
Bucket pudding,
that's it.
And bucket chowder.
And I need to have gold. Buy gold now?
Absolutely. And if you're not living in a General Steel building with lumber liquidator floors on a mattress based on foam designed by NASA and manufactured in Sweden while you listen to your Bose Wave radio, and cleaning things up with a vacuum cleaner to pick up bowling balls, well, you know, you're just... You're not gonna make it through the apocalypse, Gerald.
I'm just not a patriot, am I?
No, sorry. Although, and time's running out, so I won't subject you to the clip. But are you aware that Alex Jones has declared that he is ready to die for Donald Trump?
Yes, I am aware of that. Yes, I read something to that effect the other day and kind of chuckled, as I would, being the sarcastic person that I am. But hey, speaking of clips, I know everyone's seen it, but I didn't get to see them until yesterday evening. I saw one, and this evening I saw one. Saturday Night Live, Melissa McCarthy doing
Spicy.
Spicy, yeah, Spicy. I was trying to think what she called it. They have redeemed themselves. You know, SNL got kind of boring there for a long time. Now they have new material, and if you haven't seen those, you must watch them. And, of course, Alec Baldwin doing Trump. And my favorite one was the People's Court, where she says, Mr. Trump, you know this is a TV court, right?
That's I'm a okay. TV. I'm a TV president.
I'm a TV president.
that and the end. I'm ready to settle. Oh, but this. Okay, so this is true though, Gerald. And since it's always good to end on a giggle, this will suffice. So after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals handed him his ass, and Donald Trump responded accordingly. His lawyers went back into Judge Robart's court because the effect of the Ninth Circuit court ruling was to say that we're going to go have a trial on the merits of this thing now, back in Judge Robart's court. And so they went into court and said, Judge, and you'll notice we didn't call you so-called or anything. We're sorry. Judge, we'd like to put this trial off for a little bit. Could we have a little continuance, say till 2023? I don't know. No, but they tried to. We just want to delay this, Your Honor.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Judge Robart said, sorry, no, request denied. Because your boss told the whole world he wants to see me in court. We're going to let that happen.
Wish granted.
Yeah. Motion denied.
Motion denied. Yes. I love it.
Struck love down.
By the Lord. Did you ever see that clip?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd seen it or not.
Yeah. well, that and when I'm not muttering that to myself, I'm muttering, fucking flies.
Fucking flies. Can you do me a kindness? Yeah, that's pretty good. I lost my train of thought. I had a good one. Well, that's what happens when your mind goes.
Well, of all the things I miss, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most.
Yes.
So it's time to get out of here, but thanks for spending the last part of the program with me. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
And just as soon as my gut settles down, by God, we will go back to Secret Sandwich.
Well, I was going to say I was up there Friday because I had to go to Somersville.
Oh, you wound me.
Well, I knew you weren't doing well, so I didn't even.
Did you try the Reuben while they had it?
You know, I was going to, but I had my mind set on an Eisenhower.
You screwed up, Gerald. That Reuben was so good. Because the sauerkraut that, you know, they make their own Thousand Island dressing, and the sauerkraut was from a lady around here who just, you know, makes sauerkraut.
Yeah. Well, if they still have them in the near future, I'll get one.
We're coming up on Lent, and that means the fish sandwich will be back on. And it's the best fish sandwich I've ever eaten.
Yes. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Everything is good there.
Nothing bad. All right, Gerald, have a good evening.
Okay, Bob. See you later.
Later now. Bye. And it's time for us to get out of here. Thank you very kindly for joining in. Thank you for helping out with the fundraising. We've got $300 to go. That means tomorrow night's prayer meeting Wednesday fundraising goal is going to be $500. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to lock the doors to the sanctuary. You never know. But thanks to all of you who spend your precious, finite time engaging in this conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACAC.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.